The special product. What was the special product you were working on?
Well, I wasn't really sure. All I knew, it was a new car. At that time, General Motors was knocking the ball out of the park with the fact that they had Chevrolet, Pontiac, Buick, Oldsmobile, Cadillac, and Ford only had Lincoln Mercury. The idea was maybe you could build another franchise and another division that would give you three to compete against the larger General Motors. So they were building what was going to be the first of a family of cars that was going to stock up this new division, and they were going to get on a completely new dealer body who would handle these products. Well, before I left to go back to go into active duty, I had been there, as they say, for about 6 or 8 months, and I wanted to see this car because it was called a mystery car.
Wait, is that the way they referred to it?
Yes. All the automotive press, they were putting out all kinds of hype on this new product and how different it was going to be and how unique and how advanced and so forth. Well, that product turned out to be the Edsel. I wanted to see the car before I left because it was going to be introduced while I was gone.
Here you were crunching numbers on this product without knowing exactly what it was.
Exactly.
So was that easy? Because I'm sure it was shrouded in secrecy at the Ford level and hardly anybody saw it.
And I went to the head of the PR operation, a fellow by the name of Gail Warnock, and I asked him, is it possible that I could see the car? Well, they weren't going to take me to the styling rotunda, but he took me to made arrangements to take me to a product planning executive. And I was ushered into his office, and he locked the door, and then he went to a safe and opened the safe and took out about a 4-inch picture book, sat me down, and kept the book closed and started to tell me about the product and how futuristic it was, how this it was, and what it was going to do, how many units were going to sell, and so forth, and gave me the whole story about their approach on marketing the car with a new dealer network. And then he opened the cover, and the first photograph they had was a on-level front view of the car, the grill that had this oval toilet bowl shaped grill. And he said, well, what do you think about that? And I said, well, I could say it's like when you see a new baby and mother says, isn't this baby beautiful? And say, no, it looks like a monkey. So I was caught and I said, this is fantastic. And the guy was beaming, and then he went through the rest of the photographs. And I walked away thinking to myself, it certainly didn't have any appeal to me. I preferred the Ford products as well as a number of the General Motors. And it just didn't seem like it was going to be a major hit. And it wasn't, because the hype was much greater than what the car turned out to be. The expectations were just too great for what came out as just another car. You know, instead of gear shifts, you had to press buttons on the steering wheel. And that wasn't like a Buck Rogers thing. And then when it came out, they started to have some electrical problems with the buttons. There were some new features, but the car wasn't that much different from a regular car. And it was using the chassis of the Ford products, the Ford cars of the same size.
Well, it is one of the biggest flops in the industry, but there have been many flops in the industry too. Chevrolet came out with Corvair, rear-engine driven automobile, And that didn't really take off. I think that was in 61. But you're saying it turned out to be an ordinary car. The hype was much bigger. But did the design itself also lead to its eventual flop?
Well, I think it did. The front end was ridiculed. And when people start laughing and making jokes about the front end, that's one thing that'll cause people to shy away. You know, you buy a new car, you like people say, wow, he's got a new car. Look at that. Is that a beauty? And it's so much nicer than the previous model. Well, when you bought that car, it had people making jokes about it. It's, you know, it's not something that you go have as a serious potential purchase.
Right. And we could say that Edsel was named after Henry Ford's, or his son Edsel.
Correct.
Was named after one of Henry Ford's best friends, Edsel Ruddiman. So that's where the name Edsel comes from.
Well, not really. It really came from his son. Henry Ford's son, oldest son, was Edsel Ford.
Yes.
But, see, you know, and maybe that's why he named his son Edsel.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
Yes. But the car was then attached to his son.
Right. And he was the only son of Henry Ford.
And he was a very distinguished and gentleman, and he had some great styling, you know, ideals, and he produced some wonderful cars, but he was never good enough. One of those things, you're never quite as good as your father, and Henry Ford gave his son Edsel a difficult time.
Yeah.
And he didn't want to turn over full control of the company to him. And Edsel died early, and his wife blamed his father for the problems that he had.
However, Edsel did die of cancer.
Yes.
And he was only 49 years old when he died. But I was reading where he was the one who convinced his father to move the Model T to the Model A. And, of course, that became a big seller. And I'm just trying to say good things about this man, Edsel. He was responsible for the Lincoln Zephyr and the Lincoln Continental. So, and he introduced hydraulic brakes, which greatly strengthened the company's overseas production. So there was some substance to this young man named Edsel.
That's what I said. He was he was just a wonderful person. He was more up to date, you see, than his father. And but every one of these things that he came out with, he had to arm wrestle his father on. It wasn't like an easy sell. This is a great idea, son. It was always an uphill battle.
And then I was reading, but that Henry Ford was like that, not just to his son, it was to other people who came with new ideas.
Exactly.
And I read where he was in France, and engineers had come up with a new design and all that, and he came back and looked at it, and he just ripped the whole thing apart. And as much as great as we hear about Henry Ford and what he did, he had that side to him.
He had a bad side, and he was also... He was more on the side where Adolf Hitler was.
He was known to be anti-Semitic, wasn't he?
Yes, he was. Yeah. And he published a newspaper in Dearborn that kind of really focused on that. That cost the Ford Motor Company an awful lot of business and support.
Yeah.
You know, it's like one part he's genius, another part he's got a big... extremely big failure.
We go down to Fort Myers, and Thomas Edison wintered down there, but Thomas Edison and Henry Ford, of course, were very close friends.
Yes.
And so they've included some of the knowledge I'm talking about in that museum about Henry Ford.